Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
I don't see anything.
Welcome to TC Live as we begin week two of the Italian Open. Atticus once said it rained in Rome and the ruins glimmered. And I suddenly remembered that nothing lasts forever. Not clouds, not kingdoms, not rainstorms. The sun will return tomorrow. Here's what's coming up on the show. It is arguably the upset of the year. The world number two out. We'll show you how a qualifier achieved everlasting glory in the Eternal City. Plus, Big Foe looking to carve his place among the statues in Rome. But could the American power past a true Italian artist? And the celebration continues as we look back on two decades of tennis on the only network to carry that name. A salute to the 20th anniversary of Tennis Channel is on the way. Come on in to our dry studios here in Santa Monica, California. Steve Weissman got the big hitters with me today. Hall of Famer Jim Courier to my left. Hall of Famer Andy Roddick on the big screen as always. A happy anniversary. It was today. It was May 15, 2003.
It was 20 years ago today, you say.
Tennis Channel had its birth. We're celebrating.
Amazing. It's been awesome to watch as a fan for a lot of those years and to be a part of the family with you and with Andy now and so many people, not just on screen, but behind the screens that work tirelessly to bring this product out. My only regret is that it wasn't around when I was playing because my family would have been able to watch so many more matches. Back in those days in the 90s, it was basically weekend tennis or occasionally during the weeks. But Tennis Channel has just brought it for tennis fans time and time again. It's awesome to see.
It really has. And Andy, we've been blessed to have you with us for a couple of years now since the pandemic, being a part of the TC family. What has Tennis Channel meant to you?
It's been great. You know, luckily for me, it was there most of my career, unlike Jim. So it was always just great to be able to watch the tennis, to engage, to be able to participate in matches that were aired on Tennis Channel. And then, you know, obviously the pandemic was a horrible, horrible thing. But I guess one silver lining was asking for a job with Tennis Channel, it being granted and setting precedent to be able to engage this way. So it's been amazing for me. I'm just so happy to be a part of the Tennis Channel family now. And hopefully we can keep doing shows like this a little longer, Steve.
Yeah, let's go for 20 more years. There's another birthday today as well. We'll tell you about that later on TC Live. But let's start with the highlights. Straight to the match of the day. Carlos Alcaraz on a 12-match win streak. About to get back to number one in the world, Andy, facing Fabian Marajan, playing his first tour-level main draw.
Yeah, and listen, this is the part where I admit to being a dummy, because yesterday I said I just didn't see anything happening besides one-way traffic for Carlos Alcaraz. But Marjan, he played a great match, played up the line on defense a lot, and caught Carlos in a number of these rallies. Carlos is always there. He's always going to fight, is always going to try to mix things up. But it was weird. The matchup looked a little weird. Carlos looked like he was slipping and sliding on the clay a little bit more. The crowd was a little stunned. So to be able to kind of play this ins and outs the entire way was just an amazing, amazing accomplishment for this young man. Jim, what did you see out there?
Well, first of all, I saw Alcaraz leading 4-1 in this tiebreaker, Andy, and just shocked that he was not able to put anything together from there. He'd lose 6 straight points. A lot of that is because of the guy in red hitting shots like this. That who else is hitting shots like that? Who else is thinking of being that aggressive? Normally it's Alcaraz who plays that kind of high wire tennis, but it was Marajan who decided that he was going to take the racket out of the Spaniard's hands time and time again. And he showed also that he could use some deft touch to combat Alcaraz's all-court awesomeness. It was a shock, to say the least.
Had doubled the winners of Alcaraz, won nearly 70% of the points when he came to net. Just the third loss for Alcaraz this year. a fab day for Fabian, who joined Prakash at the desk.
It takes a lot to beat Carlos. He's lost only two matches this year, very difficult three-set matches. The first time he's lost in straight sets. How on earth did you get this done?
I mean, it's, guys, I'm really happy about this match. It's not easy to say something. I mean, beating the number one in the world. As I think, he played at least a semifinal on every tournament this year. So, yeah, it's an amazing feeling to beat him in the second round. I'm just really happy about this. I mean, and the fans was amazing today on the court. This is my first time in a huge center court. So, yeah, everything is new for me, and I try to enjoy this moment.
He surprised me a lot. I mean, his level was really, really high, and, I'm sure he's going to break the top 100 very, very soon. So it was surprising for me.
Almost an Elena Rybakina-like reaction at the end of that match for Fabian. Just cool, calm, collected. Seventh player ranked outside the top 100 to beat a top two player since 2015. Andy, how did he do it?
Yeah, I mean, what I said during the highlight, he was playing a lot of defense up the line on Carlos Alcaraz, which I don't know if Carlos didn't have his footing. I've heard the courts in Rome are maybe they applied a little too much clay, which affects movement. It affects the way the ball bounces. But credit to him for kind of figuring out patterns that were working and not. You could see Carlos play up the line and then shade to expect a cross court return. And he was drilling him line on defense from weird positions. He would be hitting the kind of the fadeaway forehand where you'd think he would be hitting the Jim Courier inside out. And then at the last minute, he would pull it to Carlos's forehand. So I don't know that Chucky ever got completely comfortable in the match today. And the other thing he did, 80% of his serves, and this is a guess, Jim's the hardcore data guy, but it looked like he was serving wide on everything and trying to create that space to have the option to create space to the open court or to play against the movement of the old Chuckster, which he did very, very well today.
Alcaraz said himself he was surprised with the effort on the other side of the net. Is this a one-off, or have we discovered a game plan to defeat Alcaraz?
Well, we've been trying to figure out how do you take it to Carlos, because he's had the two losses this season. And keep in mind, the one loss to Norrie, he led a set in 3-love and then got injured and gamely fought on. So really only one true loss in full health, and that was to Jannik Sinner, who bullied him and used his backhand down the line a lot to try and nullify the movement. But what Sinner doesn't quite possess just yet is command of the drop shot. And that's something that was a real apparent weapon today for this guy. I mean, this guy, Marujan, hit 18 drop shots against Alcaraz. 18 of them, and guess how many he won? 15 of 18. Normally, that's Carlos's secret weapon that's no longer a secret. But maybe the answer to combating Carlos is beating him to the punch on the drop shot, because, you know, Alcaraz is brilliantly quick, but he likes to be in control. And that's what I think that this Hungarian did so well today, was he eliminated that option. He took the racket away from Alcaraz and control of what was going on for much of this match. And that's what Alcaraz explained quite clearly. He was never comfortable, and that's because he was never in command.
15 of 18 drop shot attempts, he won. That's incredible for Fabian Marjan, who upsets the number two, about to be number one player in the world, Andy Roddick. But could this be some sort of a blessing in disguise heading into Roland Garros?
I don't know. I mean, listen, normally you're worried about going deep in Rome. There's a week in between if you're carrying some sort of injury. I don't think there was any downside with Carlos Alcaraz going deep in this tournament, especially in a spaced out event where you have more recovery days. There is more time. I don't personally think it affects my opinion of the way Carlos Alcaraz is going to enter the French Open. I think he's just as much as a favorite as I thought he was yesterday. But you know, 2 weeks is an awkward amount of time. I wouldn't be surprised if he got into an EXO in Paris somewhere just to get some reps that aren't quite practice reps going in. So maybe minor adjustments in the preparation in the week leading up to Roland Garros. But as far as a stress mechanism, I don't think his team should be too concerned past the strategic stuff that maybe exploited some of the things for Alcaraz today.
Yeah, hard to agree with Andy on that. If this was 2022 and Madrid had just finished on Sunday and there were 1 week tournaments, and then you're trying to back that up and try and win 10 matches over basically 14 days. Then you could say, there's a silver lining. I'm going to get some rest. It may have been too much tennis and maybe a risk of injury if I played on, but not with this now spaced out 1 month of Madrid-Rome scenario. No, you want the matches, you want the points, you want the confidence, you want all of that. Now, it's an awkward reset in many ways, but I definitely agree. It doesn't change my view, nor should it change Team Alcaraz's view of what their mission and what their confidence level should be going in to Roland Garros. What you have to recognize is this is a learning moment, and that's what Juan Carlos needs to make this for him, a teachable moment. Players are going to try different strategies against you. What did we do today that we could do differently if this happens again? And I think the answer for me is you need to play a little bit more of what we're considering that mature tennis that is kind of yet to come from Alcaraz. Play more through the center of the court, maybe not take as much risk. Try and stretch this match out and see if Morojan can hang with you in that. Don't make it at shot making, because that guy's just playing, you know, lights out tennis. He's in a dreamlike state. And in two sets, he can keep that up. Best of five sets, much more difficult to do. So this is a teachable moment for Alcaraz and his team. He's got no better teacher than who he's got on his team with Juan Carlos Ferrero. So you take that time, you look at the tape, you spend an extra day on that probably, and then hit the reset button, and here we come for Roland Garros.
Marijan said everything was perfect today, certainly for Team Alcaraz. You're glad it happened in Rome and not at Roland Garros.
And
still
bingo.
Ready yes. to take those lessons and go forward to Paris. We go forward to our guy, Francis Tiafoe, taking on Lorenzo Musetti. Tiafoe coming off his first win ever in Rome, Jim.
Yep, and taking on a very talented Italian in Musetti, who has added a lot of beef to his game in the last couple of seasons. Got a lot of horsepower on all the shots, and Tiafoe needed to bring out all of his weapons to compete. He came from a breakdown in this set and was able to steal it late. This is before the rain really set in. There was a drizzle happening throughout this match, but it started to get worse in the second set. But Tiafoe, with his offensive tactics, able to draw the double on set point. But the second set, the rains were coming. And that's when it got more difficult for Francis to finish. That's when Musetti used his ability to stretch the court with a lot of topspin on the forehand and the backhand to settle the score. But in the third set, Tiafoe didn't want to play. It was raining hard. At this moment, they had stopped play on both center court and on the grandstand court. They're on Petrangeli here. They're the only court in play. And Tiafoe was understandably upset about that because things weren't quite going his way. He'd lost the second set. He would end up losing his serve in the opening stanza of this set. Goes down a break of serve when he didn't want to be on the court and, frankly, should not have been on the court. So we got to listen to Francis talk about this a little bit, because he was not happy.
We're going to wait on court for now, okay?
No, but that right there is what kills me.
We're going to wait on court.
No, but that right there is what kills me. I'm complaining to you in the first game.
I know, Francis.
50, but, no, don't say I know, because now I'm down to break.
Because it's getting heavier now.
Man, it was like this, been like this the whole time,
no,
bro. The court's been gone.
We checked the radar, that's why. That's why we.
I don't care about the radar. I'm like, you're looking at the sky. But this is exactly what I'm talking about. But then now we stop.
We pause and see how it's going to be like.
So you hear from Francis Tiafoe there, Andy. Jim said they should not have been playing. What do you think?
Yeah, it's frustrating as a player. I've been in that situation, and Francis handled it a million times better than I used to. You know, when you say, listen, this isn't playable. I'm a player. I can feel my movement. I can feel the balls. We shouldn't be out here. And then to get broken, actually have the match impacted negatively from where you sit, is extremely frustrating. And oh, by the way, you know, it looks like Independence Day there, like with the black cloud over the city, and they're telling you we're just going to sit out here and hang out in the cold rain for a little bit. I would have been unpleased, is the nicest way I could say that, and they shouldn't have been hanging out there.
All right, so what do you do now if you're Francis? Because now, listen, you don't have to go back out today. You get the night off. You get to get some good pasta and come back out with a fresh attitude tomorrow.
Well, you hope you have the same outcome that you had a couple days ago when you were playing Daniel Altmaier. You were struggling in the muddy conditions, and they called play. You came back in drier conditions the next day, and you played better, and you succeeded. So you're hoping that you're going to be able to replicate that formula. But I think there's a bigger conversation really to be had about this, that not about this specific match, but when we have a scenario, when we're in a modern communications age, the ATP supervisors do have walkie-talkies. When two of the three courts in play have shut down and sent the players to the locker room And the player on court in question that's still in play is demanding that you stop, and you deny him that. We need some common sense rules, and we need to have, it's yes. not like, you know, there's a roof over one court here. You know, this is a relatively small complex, the Foro Italico. There needs to be something. We need to, ATP need to issue a statement, I think, about what the rule is on this and how they can say one court is playable and two others aren't. Because, listen, I'm in the television business now. We want the product. We want TV ongoing. We want live tennis, but not at the risk of our players' health and not when common sense isn't there. I just do not understand this, and I want to better understand it. So I would invite the ATP to send out a statement or let us know why this is a possibility. Because it absolutely should not be. And if I was Tiafo, I would be three times as angry when I got to the locker room and saw that those guys had already taken a shower and were already eating pasta, and I just came off the court. I'd be furious.
Totally agree. Andy, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Jim already sounds furious, and it doesn't even affect his match. But I think he's spot on. I just don't know in what world the weather's the same on the grandstand as it is on stadium. Like, why are there inconsistencies with this? And if there is a reason for those inconsistencies, why are they not better explained to the two guys that are still on court rather than just, hey, just wait? Well, I'd like some answers. No, we're just going to wait. That is so frustrating when you're in the heat of the battle. Listen, we're not great at kind of handling and looking at things objectively when we're on court, but even less so when it's just nonsensical like it was today for Francis.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like a Charlie Brown cloud that's just like over one court and it's not on the other way. It was raining everywhere. So yep. Francis has reason to be upset, but hopefully settles down tonight.
Listen, it was good for Musetti. You know, there's two sides of that coin. Musetti got the benefit of it.
Some other suspended action from today. Stefano Tsitsipas up a set against the Italian Lorenzo Sonego. And how about J.J. Wolff, 3-all on serve right now against Alexander Zverev?
Can I just pipe in for 1 second? I'm wondering if Sonego had won the opening set against Tsitsipas if they had let play continue with that momentum. Just throwing out, throwing another, you know, another bomb into the air here and seeing what sticks.
Pro-Italian, potentially.
Well, is it pro-Italian, or are they just are into, like, Ralph Macchio lookalikes?
I don't know, but I will say this. The first court to stop play, and they did long before the stadium did, was the court with Sasha Zverev on it. And given what Sasha endured with that fall, which was not related to rain at Roland Garros, but the horrible, breaking of the three tendons, you know, they were, Carlos Bernardes, his chair umpire, was out of his seat, and they stopped play very quickly. And they were the first one stopped by probably 15 minutes. So, that was odd.
You're talking about that mental scar tissue, Jim. And just for those at home that haven't played a lot of reps on clay, when it is muddy, your outside of your foot sticks. And the most likely thing to happen is your ankle going over. So that's a great point that Jim makes against Zverev. You kind of dig into the clay. And then when you go overboard, it's even more insignificant. So that's a great point. Zverev probably wanted, he was probably having some mental demons go through his brain with that, what he's gone through with that ankle.
Yeah. You got to empathize with all the players, however, in that type of a situation. You don't want that to happen to anybody.
Yeah. You know who might be the happiest about the situation, though? Donna Bekic. Because she was going up to play Iga Świątek today, and she had a long match yesterday. She got a, saw the trainer. She gets another day to rest, and you need everything in your power to take on Iga.
You certainly do. Speaking of the women, let's get to the highlights of a match that did get in today. Markéta Vondrousova, former Roland Garros runner-up, coming off the upset of Maria Sakkari, taking on Elena Rybakina, Jim. And Rybakina said Rome is the worst for her allergies. She had a cure for the Czech lefty.
Yeah, the only good news about the rains also is that it does keep the pollen counts down, so that's got to be helping Rybakina, who we know is a force. Whenever she can stay in control in the rallies, Vondrousova got a lot more options, but she doesn't have the firepower that Rybakina does, and the firepower won the day today, so able to get things going, 6-3, 4-1. I really thought this was an upset special. I did not really expect Rybakina to get through this the way Vondrousova has been playing this week, but Rybakina able to dominate things. That's a nice little break back there, but it wouldn't be enough. That match point here, the second one for Elena, she would get the job done. And as usual, very effusive with her celebration.
Yes. 6-3.
28 winners to just 13 for Vondrousova. First clay court 1,000 quarterfinal for Elena Rybakina. Still to come, it is one of the greatest serves in tennis history. Our own Andy Roddick, more than 9,000 aces. We break it down to the bones later on TC Live.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
In hindsight, it's easy, but when it first came out, it was kind of a head scratcher. How are they going to fill the grid, the programming? Nowadays, that was a no-brainer. I think it's a game changer to be able to show just one niche product, and I love it. I think it's a great platform for the fans to get to know the players that normally will not be on TV. It's a great opportunity for those guys to get an audience. I think it's a storytelling for everybody, and that is something that never happened before. So I think it's opening doors for the fan, for the players. Happy birthday, Tennis Channel.
Thank you for that, Nico. All right, FanDuel match preview time. Let's look at the results from yesterday. We've got a winner, Veronika Kudermetova, over Marie Boskova, 2-2. The former Charleston champ followed up her semifinal in Madrid with a quarterfinal in Rome. So here is the FanDuel pick for Tuesday. Borna Coric over Fabian Marajan. Coric, the heavy favorite. You would have to wager $230 to win $100 on the Croatian. But we now know Fabian loves a big upset after defeating Carlos Alcaraz today. Right now, FanDuel giving all new users 10 times your first bet in bonus bets, up to $200 win or lose. Download the FanDuel Sports app now and start making every moment more. Back with more TC Live after this. Jim, Andy, Steve back on TC Live. The Grand Slam excitement from the red clay in Paris is almost here. Tennis Channel will once again bring you daily live coverage of Roland Garros. Don't miss any of the action beginning Sunday, May 28th. We've got a TC Live on Saturday, May 27th. Less than 2 weeks away from the year's second major. Back to Roma we go. We've got Yelena Ostapenko in action. Last four matches have all included a bagel, win or lose, Jim. Taking on Daria Kasatkina.
So when was it coming? Not in the opening set. Kasatkina and Ostapenko locking horns here. A lot of big ball striking. Ostapenko has so much firepower at her disposal, and you never know when it's going to stay on plane. The first set, going just fine for her. The second set, things would get a little bit tricky for her. Kasatkina, a little shock absorption down the line. Pass. Here's double set point for Dasha. She gets it done into the third. She's got all the momentum right. Whoops! That would be the last game she'd win. Here comes a bagel. You knew it had to be. And Ostapenko gets the early break and never lets go of that momentum. Are we about ready to start calling her one of the favorites for Roland Garros? Because I am. Obviously, Swiatek, the heavy favorite. Sabalenka should be in that conversation as well. But Ostapenko knows what it's like to win seven in Paris. And she gets it done again here today, brilliantly in set three.
Third quarterfinal in Rome. She knows what she's doing when it comes to that red clay. 2017 Roland Garros champion. Some other results from today. Daniil Medvedev, Andrei Rublev, Beatrice Haddad-Maia, and Angelina Kalinina, all coming through with victories. All right, time now for the social net, and our friends at Tennis House on Instagram put out a 3D skeleton breakdown of our Andy's serve alongside Andy Murray. Our Andy, what do you think about this?
I got a bit of a lower elbow. I think, you know, he drags the foot a little bit, but I will say this is probably the only shot that I would have any confidence with this actual side-by-side in this matchup. This is the only shot. The follow-through looks pretty similar, but this is the only shot where I feel like I might have the upper hand against Sir Andy Murray.
Where's the metal hip for Murray? I mean, that's a huge miss, by the way, in this. I don't know what they were thinking. That should be flashing some sort of a plutonium device. But, you know, it's different, totally different Andy is, it's a platform serve, doesn't move the back foot. Murray has the step up, in he comes. They both obviously load a lot with the legs down low, but your elbow, a lower elbow means what, Andy Roddick?
It means more power. You can go up and get it and hit it harder and create more spin. You, one of the big things with every big server, whether you bring the foot up or whether you go off of a platform, is that big knee bend and that drive up into the ball. You will not see a big server that has the straight legs. Jim Courier, with massive server, revolutionized the serve and then that first ball, but had that thick knee bend also. You can see it with Murray. You can see it with me. Take your choice on what you want to do with your foot, but the non-negotiable is using those legs to get up through the ball.
9,074 aces for our Andy Roddick. Nearly 12 aces a match, ranked 6th all-time. Murray ranking 20th all-time, and today, happy 36th birthday to Andy Murray, 36 years young. Jim, what would you like to tell Andy Murray on his birthday?
Just keep going as long as you can. I mean, he's obviously got so much to look forward to the rest of his life with his family and other business pursuits, but you only really get one big run at it, and he's certainly take as big of a bite out of pro tennis as he can. He's done something that took 77 years to do, became the first British man since Fred Perry. That was not easy. I saw Tim Henman have to deal with that stress. Murray able to make it. So he's done so much for our sport, and he's been a great voice for the sport as well, with lots of valid opinions on lots of different topics. So triple thumbs up. If I had three thumbs, I'd give it to him.
And Roddick, I'll have you react to this. We love Andy Murray because, well, he's sarcastic. He's funny. He tweeted this today. If I don't get a cake of equal size, if not slightly bigger than Alcaraz today, referencing the cake that Carlitos got in Madrid, I'm going to be absolutely bleeping furious. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think he cares even in the slightest. Two, I think he's poking our Feli Lopez, who I think he's won the Queen's doubles title with before. And if memory serves correct, I think Lopez may have responded to Murray and then deleted that response. Maybe it got a little too hot in the Twitter sphere for Feli.
I mean, this is what makes Murray so great. Wants that big cake? Feli did delete it. I actually sent Roddick the tweet, and he was like, "I can't open it up. It's gone." I was like, "Oh, I took a screenshot. Here you go." That's what Lopez said. You can silence the doubles players on the court, but Twitter lives forever, Feli. Remember that.
That's funny.
Here's our schedule on Tuesday. We begin bright and early, 5 a.m. Eastern. We're live on T2 at 8 a.m. Eastern. TC Live. We're back at it again, 5 p.m. Eastern. Encore coverage all night long. More after this. Back on TC Live with a look at our featured matches. On a Tuesday in Rome, we got some good ones. Novak Djokovic, Cam Norrie, Veronika Kudermetova against Zhang Qinwen. How about Jannik Sinner back in action against Francisco Cerundolo? And Angelina Kalinina beat Maddie Keys today, taking on Beatrice Haddad-Maia. All starts at 5 a.m. Eastern. Let us discuss Novak Djokovic taking on Cam Norrie. 2-0 head-to-head for Novak Djokovic. First match on clay. What do you expect to see?
Look, Cam's good on clay. But it's Novak, so I got to go with Novak. But as we saw today, you know, things are a little bit unpredictable in sports. So we'll see how this shakes out. What Cam Norrie does well is he grinds. Cam Norrie has some of the best lungs and legs in men's tennis, and he's not afraid of the long rallies. What he lacks at times is the ability to finish. His forehand has gotten a lot better as a finishing shot. His backhand is rock solid, very flat. But if Djokovic is tuned in and tuned up, I think he's going to tune him on the clay, too. I expect that would be one-way traffic if Djokovic plays his normal game.
Andy, what's the game plan for Cam Norrie?
Yeah, it's a challenge because the one shot that he uses very well to create space and to kind of maybe protect the forehand, not having the pace that he was like, is driving that backhand deep, cross court to the forehand, and then opening up that side to the backhand where you can hit that little roller derby forehand. Obviously, Novak on the forehand side can switch directions. He's going to find the pattern before Norrie is. Norrie, the non-negotiables are he has to mix up his second serve and where he hits it. If Novak has a beat on where you're serving your second serve, that means you're picking up the ball 4 or 5 feet in front of the baseline all day straight on you, and it's tough to create angles from there. He's going to have to open up the shoulders on the forehand more than he likes to do. That's what the greats do. They force you to be a little bit more uncomfortable than you'd like to be over and over again.
unfortunately, we will not get Novak Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz for the first time this year. We will get Iga Swiatek in action tomorrow. Three of her four sets have been bagels so far in Rome. Looking forward to that one from her. And a reminder right now on tennis.com, we've got multiple articles celebrating the 20th anniversary of Tennis Channel. Steve Tignor, Joel Drucker have you covered. We've also got blowout coverage of this massive upset. Fabian Marajan, remember the name. Thanks for watching TC Live.